As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hi, hello, and welcome back to the 1983 National Football League Draft.
And with the first round pick, John Elway, Jim Kelly.
Welcome back to the draft.
And with the first round pick, Dan Marino,
Gruden,
NFL draft.
And with the first round pick,
Deion Sanders.
I was kind of scared. I thought Detroit was going to take me. I would ask for so much money that I had to put me on layaway.
Welcome back to the
NFL draft.
Good young players.
The draft's all about
year in and year out.
Welcome back to the draft.
All right, this time next week, Cowboys fans will have the newest draft class of Dallas Cowboys. Who's it going to be? One more podcast here to preview it all. Make sure you're tuned in on Thursday, though, to The Athletic's NFL draft coverage on The Athletic Football Show's YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe to The Athletic Football Show on YouTube. Follow us, Dane Brugler, Robert Mays, Nate Tice, live covering the draft. We've got Saad back from Minnesota. Preview it all with us. And from The Athletic, Father John Machota. But back in the hosting chair. Missed him last week, but he's back this week. Kevin KT Turner, my draft buddy. What's going on, Kevin?
Guys, it's that time. It's so good. Missed you guys last week, but I thought the episode with Broadus was outstanding. And I'm glad to be here. I have a lot of thoughts. Got a lot of thoughts. A lot of stuff, happening in the league in general. The NFC's wide open, my friends. Let's go get it. We got a few topic ideas that we're just going to kind of slam through regarding the draft. Kent doing his job as producer, as always, coming up with great ideas as well. We've all played around with mocks. We've been talking about it. Now it's like, let's just get down to it. Let's start with you, John. Best case scenario for pick number 26. And let me preface this by saying, when you pick 26, it means your roster's pretty good already. It also kind of means that when you're talking about a best-case scenario, it almost becomes like a matter of taste between people, I think.
Yeah, the guilty pleasure aspect of it, too. Yeah,
there could be something there. So, for you, John, what is your best-case scenario at pick number 26?
Yeah, it's Bijan Robinson. If somehow he was to fall to 26, I just think that would be such a home run, not only because it's a position that they can use, but I can just see him making a huge impact immediately. And not only just on offense, but defensively, just the level of play, I think it would raise the entire team by just adding him to the offense. I think it could be the type of missing piece that would put you over the top. Now, with that being said, I'm saying that at 26. I'm not talking about trading up. I'm saying if he keeps falling, he keeps falling. Teams are scared of taking running back high in the first round. Teams have other needs, want to do other things. And then all of a sudden you just wind up and somehow, some way, Bijan Robinson's there for you. I don't think you can come up with a better scenario than that.
Yeah, I mean, look, the idea, I've almost talked myself out of it. And the truth is, I have to remind myself every year is that we don't know anything. And that's how Trayvon Diggs gets to the second round, right? But I've talked myself out of him being like a realistic possibility there, but it is very possible that there is a groundswell of the entire league going, well, we're just not taking running backs that very high. And he does get in that area. Now, John, or the Jerry Jones, like, he made some comments today about Zeke from 2016. And I just kind of wondered, like, what is that about? Like, why now? Yeah. And what's the, like, I don't know. It seems weird.
Yeah, I don't know if he... That's the thing with Jerry. You can interpret it whatever way you want. I was told that that's not what he meant, that it wasn't 2016. And in saying that, I meant he wasn't saying that they shouldn't have drafted Zeke at where they did in the top five, or that they wouldn't do that over again. I think what he meant is that it got too high in terms of his cost and what they ended up paying him on that second contract.
Ah.
But believe me, the way he said it, he left it open for interpretation that basically, you know, saying something along the lines of, if you go with the way the conversation was going with Stephen Jones talking, Mike McCarthy and such, that it was him saying that that was too high to take a running back. I was told after by a member of the PR staff that that's not what he meant. What he meant was giving him the second contract. And so that would make more sense, because I don't see how they would really have a lot of regrets on what they did in 2016. It was giving the new deal to a position that, let's be honest, there just aren't many teams that just have one running back anymore. And they gave a lot of money expecting Zeke to be the same Zeke he was in 2016, 2017, 2018. That clearly wasn't the case. But I don't think that if the Cowboys had a top five pick this year, they would take Bijan Robinson in the top five. The reason I think it's a dream scenario for the Cowboys is because they're at 26. And I mean, can you just imagine a 2016 draft? If they were picking at 26 and they got Zeke at 26, I mean, nobody would even hesitate or think twice about it. I just think it's the top five situation. And I'll be honest with you, they've set themselves up very nicely in this draft to not have any major glaring needs. But if I'm drafting in the top five, and especially now you're looking at, let's say, three of the other picks are quarterbacks, I got my chance to add, you know, like Will Anderson or something. Yeah, DN isn't my biggest need, but my God, why wouldn't you try and add that and then have this future well into the next decade of Will Anderson on one side and Micah Parsons on the other? But, you know, that's a totally different conversation, because obviously somebody like that isn't going to be there at 26. Whereas I'm telling you, Bijan, it's unlikely, but I can just see, man, when we do these mock drafts through The Athletic, we're in the middle of one right now. I think we're on pick 15, where every writer that covers every team is picking for their teams. I'm telling you, there's not a lot of teams that sit there and running back is this glaring need, especially in the top 15. So next thing you know, he's there at 20. I think the biggest concern would be him falling outside of the top 20 and some team trading up to jump over the Cowboys, knowing, hey, if he gets to 26, they're going to take him. I think that's more of a concern than maybe some people are talking about right now. But the idea that Bijan could fall out of the top 15, I don't think that that's the craziest possible scenario.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's crazy at all. But I think, you know, that's, you know, you talk about once he falls out of the top 20, some team going up to get him. Like, I don't know if the Cowboys are that team, you know, given what they have in terms of draft capital and stuff, and if they want to. And on top of that, you know, I thought it was interesting. I'm sure we're going to get to this in more detail here in a second. But Stephen Jones said, what, they have like 15 guys that he has first round grades on, and they're picking 26. So, you know, if you get to a point in the draft where, you know, you're sitting at 26 and you got one or two guys left with first round grades in the early 20s, do you consider what the asking price is for that package to, you know, move up a few picks and get someone that you have a true first round grade on, as opposed to, and if Bijan is that guy, then do you do that? And so I think that could be an interesting thing too. I don't think the Cowboys will trade up for him, but given that they have less first round grades in terms of, as opposed to picks in front of them, you know, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, Steven said 15 to 18 first round grades potentially. I think he was just trying to be coy, so not to give anything away. I would think it'd be closer to 15 than to 18. I believe they had 14 last year. Tyler Smith, who they obviously took, was a second round grade. They didn't have first round grade on him, and he certainly has performed like a first round player. So I don't think that they'll have any issues of sitting there at 26. Now, hey, there's always perfect scenarios where you can get completely wiped out and you can be in a tough spot. But, you know, Steven talked about today a time when they got completely wiped out, literally three picks in a row right before their pick was about to happen, was in 2014. And so they were just forced to suffer with through a guy by the name of Zach Martin. And let's be honest, in 2 years ago, they wanted Patrick Surtain, and if they couldn't get him, they wanted J.C. Horn. And so they were wiped out there, and they had to settle for Micah Parsons. So it might not be the worst thing.
What about you, Saad? Best case scenario for you at 26? And, you know, just to keep it creative, I would say don't say Bijan.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think best case scenario for me is I think I would go with anybody on like anybody in that place. And you know, I've been peeling through the beast recently and I haven't really gotten through all the way. But I would say interior offensive lineman. If there's somebody there, I would like to see that. I really would not like to see tight end. So I think, you know, to answer your question in a different way, I would like to see interior offensive lineman. It would be best case scenario. I think it's important for, you know, given all the skill positions that all the skills that they do have filled out, especially after the acquisitions of Cooks and, you know, everything, and Tony Pollard going to come back and everything. I would like to see interior offensive lineman addressed a little bit. And if I'm not going with Bijan, that's probably my best case scenario.
Yeah. And I think that's interesting because I'm a guy who has been pretty open about, they're going to sit here and tell you, although in a confusing manner, given how many cooks are always in the kitchen with this team, but they're going to tell you what they're kind of doing on the offensive line. You kind of figure that out and you realize that they will probably end up moving Terrence Steele back to right tackle and how that's all going to go down. But I would like to hear them give me a good, clean, clear-cut plan. And maybe, John, you could help me with this. What is their plan if Tyron gets hurt or when Tyron gets hurt? Because you can tell us that, oh, here's our line. We got a, you know, Hall of Fame caliber guy, left tackle, Tyron Smith, and Tyler Smith, the left guard. You can tell me that, and that's great. And then what happens? Because we know that he's not going to play a full year, and that's fine. Like, we know what it is. We've accepted that money's on the roster. But what happens after that? And that's where I kind of I start opening my eyes to offensive lineman possibilities at 26 and kind of being truly happy with that.
Yeah, and they could very well do that. As they sit here today, if they had to start the season today without a draft, I think that Tyron Smith would be your starting right tackle and then Tyler Smith would be your starting left tackle. So if Tyron goes down in the first quarter, then that's when Terrence Steele would come in and play right tackle. And if Tyron Smith stays healthy for 17 games, then Terrence Steele is your swing tackle. They've mentioned Terrence Steele as a possibility getting some work at left guard. I don't see that happening. I think it'll be between right now, Chuma Adoga, who they signed in free agency. And then they've talked about getting Josh Ball work on the interior. Mike McCarthy said today he thinks Josh Ball will work more on the interior than on the outside, which obviously he was drafted as an offensive tackle in the fourth round in 2021. So those are kind of their fill in the gaps right there at left guard. I don't think they want to do too much moving outside of that. And so that's why, you know, to Saad's point, it makes sense to, you know, add a left guard that you think could potentially, you know, come in right away and play. The issue I have with that is that I just don't know that there's anybody in this draft at left guard that's really worthy of 26. It just seems like, you know, left guard is, you know, it's just not tackle, you know, it doesn't have the same value. Yeah. And there just isn't a Zach Martin in this class or somebody that you put on that level. I guess that Peter Skronsky, maybe, you know, I know he's got a little bit of tackle/guard, but he's not falling to 26. So at 26, you're looking at like Osiris Torrance or Steve Avila from TCU. And I don't know. I just think that's kind of early for either of them. And so they could end up in a situation where they don't take a left guard in the first round because they don't see the value there. But then all the ones that they really like that could step in and be immediate starters are gone by the time it gets to 58 with them in the second round. And then what happens? Then are you all of a sudden reaching for somebody? Are you reaching for somebody in if you don't get one by the third, fourth, fifth round, you know? I don't think you should do that. I don't think you should reach for need. I think you should take the best players available. And if you don't have a guard that comes out of this draft, then kick the tires on some free agents and try and patch it together. Basically how you've patched together defensive tackle with bringing in a Jonathan Hankins and doing some moves like that. You got to figure it out. But just to reach for one, just to fill a position, that to me, that gets into the Taco Charlton, Tristan Hill situation. I just don't like that.
Yeah, I don't either. You know, we get the feeling they like Darnell Wright, but they like him at tackle. You know, the feeling that they like Steve Avila, that feels a little early for Steve Avila. And obviously, we do this every year. Trading back would be cool. Well, you know, what if Anthony Richardson's on the board? A team gets hungry in the second round, wants to jump up and and work with you to move back. Yeah, that'd be great. But those are all just kind of things that you can't really know right now. Just to kind of keep the conversation going. And I, at 26, I'm not sure that I can tell you here, clear cut, best case scenario, without it being just here's a name that slid real far that you thought was going to go 10, 12 picks earlier. I am a fan of at 26, and granted, I'm a positional value guy. I am a fan of cornerback if something is there, if maybe Deontay Banks is there. I don't see Joey Porter getting to you, but maybe he does. How far does you know, it feels like Witherspoon and Christian Gonzalez and Joey Porter are probably going to go. Maybe Deontay Banks you can put, you know, in that circle. And that's where I kind of end up. Like, that is an interesting thing because for two reasons. A, we know Stephon Gilmore is not a long-term fix. B, it gives you an option. Not that you would even have to even deal with it or discuss it right now, but if you didn't want to, go pay top dollar for Trayvon Diggs. Maybe you're like, okay, asset-wise, I'm going to pay CeeDee Lamb, I'm going to pay Micah Parsons. And maybe there's a world where you can't pay everyone by getting creative with the cap. But it gives you like a bit of a thing where you can go, well, I don't have to. It kind of just gives you some leverage if that guy hits. I think back to the Byron Jones draft a little bit where I don't think, you know, I mean, the Byron Jones probably went where he was supposed to go in that draft. But you know, I don't know if they thought he would be there when they were picking. I think that was the 27th pick that year. I think they kind of thought he might be gone at that point. And I don't remember if they had a first-round grade on him or not. Cornerback is an interesting thing for me because even though immediately you might not go Stephon Gilmore, Trayvon Diggs, and we think we got Deron Bland and Jordan Lewis or whoever can handle the slot, you might feel good about it, but you're in a world where Stephon Gilmore is probably not here next year. And I do like looking forward ahead a little bit. The other thing is you could talk me into wide receiver. I'm not a huge Quentin Johnston fan. I want more of the let's be a separator, let's be a get open type of guy. And I know he's had some drops. Zay Flowers is fun to me. And when you brought Brandon Cooks in, that kind of helped you out. And it's kind of the same discussion I just had about cornerback with wide receiver. So that's where I'm at. Give me something on the outside.
When we were talking to Mike McCarthy briefly after the press conference was over, there's a group of reporters, just real quick. It was like maybe a minute. And so, you know, people are throwing out questions, trying to pry, like, you know, about looking at mock drafts. And because he said that he's working on some, they were working on some simulations and things like that. And how he's already gone through several mock drafts. And so right when he was about to walk away, somebody goes, "So who'd you take in the first round of the very last mock you did?" And he, you know, just tried to blow it off. And he goes, "Big guy, real big guy," and just walked away. And I go, "Well, I guess Zay Flowers is out."
Yeah, no, that's true. It won't be him.
Can I give you an outside kind of weird best case scenario?
Yeah,
sure.
Jalen Carter falling to 26.
It does. I mean, look, it is interesting. How many teams are going to take him off their board completely?
A few.
Half the league?
No.
A few? It's interesting because the thing, you know how the NFL works. More teams are concerned about, like, probably his weight and all that stuff more than the actual incident, which seems wild, but, you know.
Oh, I'm going to say is right now, when you show up to your pro day overweight and you can't finish the drills, that's so bad.
That's not great.
These pro days are set up as layups for you just to like do whatever drill is going to make you look good. I mean, 99% of these pro days, you know, whatever the top pick is, it's just, oh, look great. Look great, Ben. Look well. To be overweight
sounds
and you
like
couldn't
he's falling
finish
to me,
the
John.
Drills. Well, this, so that,
like
all right. Well,
that's a slider to me.
Okay. And that's what it sounds like to you. To me, it sounds like a guy that, cool. You handed him a jersey. How many times does he play on Sunday? Is he in shape to play on Sunday? Are we sitting here in like week eight and it's like, well, he's inactive because he's not even one of our top four defensive tackles because he's out of shape. He doesn't show up late to meetings and stuff like that. Then what did you get out of it? I mean, you have to factor those things in too.
Well, they would take him thinking, you know, they know some things about that, obviously. But
do they know some stuff about Kelvin Joseph? I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, do you think that they feel like we use his second round pick and Kelvin Joseph and we're getting our money's worth right now because he's sweet on special teams for a handful of plays?
Well, this, I don't know. Jalen Carter is just, so many people have said he's the best player they've scouted, you know, all that kind of, so many people have him as number one.
Oh, they say that about Jalen Carter?
Or 26.
Right. Are they saying that about Jalen Carter or are they saying that about Jamarcus Russell? Because you could have Jamarcus Russell at one. You can have Jamarcus Russell at 26, 52. I'll give you Jamarcus Russell as an undrafted rookie free agent. He's not even beating out Cooper Rush because he can't, you know, so there's, it's the, are you even going to get anything? And I'm saying this because, man, I'm telling you, you're talking to somebody with some experience here. All right. You can use a Jeffrey Okuda, top five pick. He brings absolutely nothing. And you're trading him and you're getting a fifth back for him. You package some stuff together. You go up and you get a Jameson Williams. And it's like, well, if it's not the injury, now it's this gambling thing. And of course, there's plenty of things you can criticize about the gambling policy. I guess he didn't even bet on football. It was something he was just in the facility and stuff like that. But there becomes a point where, like, yes, these players are amazing and they're great if they're on the field. But I need to know, are they going to be on the field? Because there's plenty of times where, like, Tristan Hill's not even active, and you're just kind of like, you can't even get active? This team doesn't even have good defensive tackles. We're just asking to be active. So there's a difference between, am I going to get a Pro Bowl performance, or can I just get any performance? Because I just am hoping that you can be one of the 53 guys, you know? And that's where, if he falls all the way to 26, then there's some serious concerns, because he obviously, on tape, has talent of where you could arguably say he's the best player in the draft, but then all of a sudden, if he's out of the league in 2 years, was it really worth it? You didn't get anything at all. If that's the case, give me just a run-of-the-mill tight end. At least he's still on my team 7-8 years from now. So that's my issue with the whole Jalen Carter thing, because I'm seriously, as a Lions fan, not even interested in Jalen Carter at 6. So, I mean, 26 is very Jerry Jones. If he was there, yeah, let's pull the trigger. But there's also a part of you where you look back and you're like, well, did you even get what we want? Like, was it even worth 26? Like, did we even get anything that... You know, we didn't even get to a second contract because he was. I'll give you honestly, like a guy that, and I'm not saying I'm not comparing them, other than the fact that they both play the same positions. But like, man, do you remember when the Cowboys like had interest in Malik McDowell, and then he fell to the second round, and it's like Seattle took him because Seattle, you know, will take certain guys thinking that yeah, no, we'll get the best, and you get nothing out of Malik McDowell. He didn't do anything for you, and sure. So that's the part that makes me a little nervous with somebody like Jalen Carter. But even with that, I don't see him falling out of the top 15.
Yeah, and also like I think Randy Gregory is like another kind of like example of that, where it did end up panning out, but it's like, you know, you have all that talent, and I know it was a second round pick, but if you're just not able to get on the field, stay on the field, then all that talent, like every time he flashed, then he was suspended for whatever. So and you know, you talk about showing up to your pro day that way, like Randy Gregory showed up to, you know, the combine and failed drug tests, like, again, a layup type situation. And then, it, you know, fortunately for him, he figured it out at the end and all that stuff. But like you said, availability is the best ability. So if you're not able to be there, then really what's the point?
Sure. Damn good player. He's a defensive tackle around here too. Hey, Kalijah, well, I mean, we could stay. I'll try to stay actually kind of close to our template here, because I kind of think we're going to do good there. But there's a player that's interesting at that position. Worst case scenario at 26 for you, John?
Jalen Carter. No.
No. I don't think that would be the worst. I'm literally, when I was thinking about him, another guy I was thinking about was, remember Nick Fairley?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, helps Auburn, oh, wow, win Auburn, the national, yeah, championship.
Yeah.
Then he goes and he's picked 13th overall, and I mean SEC Defensive Player of the Year, just a dominant defensive tackle. Yeah, and I can't even think of one memorable game that he had for them. And keep in mind too, you just thought, oh, this is going to be so dominant because they're about to pair him with Ndamukong Suh. And
wasn't he more like a run stop guy though?
He had six sacks in 20. He had six sacks in 2013, and he didn't even make it to a fifth year. And then he was already in St. Louis, and he played one other year with New Orleans, and that was 2016, and then he was no longer in the league. So, yeah, 13th overall pick, Nick Fairley. That's one of those that made me think of. I mean, again, yeah, like, it's like all the talent's there, but, like, is the player going to produce on Sundays, you know? it's not even the off the field stuff as much as it is the, do they love football? Do they care about football? And I'm sorry, but you can raise those questions when you show up overweight to your pro day and you can't finish drills. How much do you even care about football? And because, you know, when you're in college, you can be a dominant beast in college for 8 to 10 games and you're fine, good to go. But like in the NFL, like you really can't even take a week off. Like they need you every single week to be dominant. You know, they need you to be a guy that they're getting some from throughout the entire season. And so I don't know. There's just a lot of concerns I have in him right now.
If there was anyone who could get him going, you kind of go, okay, well, maybe Dan Quinn could do the job here, right? And that's where you kind of look at what you have from a, you know, your foundation. You have that to handle something like that. That's where I kind of go with Jalen Carter. Like, very, very interesting. Bust potential for sure, like every first-round defensive tackle almost. I mean,
I feel like a lot of teams between 1 and 26 are going to have, if not their head coach, members of their coaching staff that are going to be like, no, give him – give him Jim and he'll fix it. I mean,
I can clearly fix him.
Remember the Tristan Hill,
yeah,
you know, Rod Marinelli stuff. There was a lot of talk like, oh, he'll get this right. You know, like there's sure. a lot of like, oh, Pete Carroll will get Jalen Carter right and everything like that. And it's like, okay, if you say so. I mean, if you think
well,
so,
let's
I mean,
go.
But all these guys have, for all the hits, they have just as many misses, you know, like obviously Dan Quinn really liked Kelvin Joseph. There's no way they're taking Kelvin Joseph because Dan was like, no, I don't know about this. I mean, let's be honest here. Dan had to really want Kelvin Joseph.
Let's have a little fun here then, real quick.
Let's do that.
Decide you can play too.
Okay.
You've got Jalen Carter on the board at 26. You've got Kalijah Kancey of Pittsburgh, who you like a little bit. You've probably got Carter graded higher, but you got the red flags there. But you've decided it's going to be one of these two guys. We need help on the D-line. We're making that move. What's your pick?
I mean, obviously, I'm taking Kancey after everything I just said, just because, again, what his ceiling might just be solid NFL starter, whereas Carter's ceiling is Pro Bowl, one of the best defensive tackles in the game. So I don't, but I also feel more confident that I can count on Kancey to be there for several years, and he could be a foundational piece that I can continue to build around. So again, at 26, I don't feel like I'm really, I don't know, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I think I would probably go with Jalen Carter in that situation, just because it's not because it's because of Micah Parsons. Like when you have some stuff in the toolbox already, at that point I think you can take a little bit more of the gambles. Whereas if you're trying to fill out, like, you know, if you asked me the same question 2-3 years ago when we were talking about corners and you talked about a high potential corner versus just a solid, remember we were talking about, do you go for a guy that is a playmaker versus a Byron Jones type, who basically just is solid, reliable, which is basically what you're kind of presenting in this situation. When you have a couple of guys that, you know, you feel confident in, and there are, it's not just Micah. There's a couple of guys on that defensive front that I feel that are, you know, Micah is a superstar. And then there's a few guys that are decent. If I can take a lottery ticket on Jalen Carter and go for it, then I would do that in that situation, especially at 26.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Going back to the worst case scenario, though, I was going to say, I really don't love the receivers outside of Jordan Addison and Jackson Smith and Jigba. So if they were to still take a receiver there, I wouldn't love that. I don't love the idea of Drew Sanders. And I think that could be a potential possibility there. I'm just trying to think of like mock drafts that I've seen, you know, some names of guys.
You wouldn't be happy with Zay Flowers, John?
I would not, no.
Interesting.
What about is it the slot thing?
Show me who's the last smaller receiver that made a huge impact with the Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, Cole, the right?
There you go. Perfect. Thank you. That's the only one I can think of. You saw what you got from Cole Beasley. It was Cole Beasley ever worthy of a first round pick?
No.
Zay Flowers in the second round? Yeah, I got you. But first round, I'm just not. I can't do that. Sorry.
I think the drops are the issue with me with Zay Flowers more than the size and the redundance.
Oh, no. Although team has a factor. I'm telling you, team has a factor. Believe me. Am I drafting for the Cowboys or am I drafting for the Chiefs? If I'm drafting for the Chiefs,
oh, for sure.
Zay Flowers, let's go. Let's dance. I'm just saying, I haven't seen this team really utilize a smaller receiver like that, like you see some other teams do that. And so because of that, I don't have as much interest in it because I'm just kind of be like, is this another training camp where I write a story about how they're going to go deep to Cole Beasley this season? And then the season starts and they never throw deep to Cole Beasley one single time.
Or, well, the time they did, he didn't come down with it. That's the big issue for me, really. The one time they threw it downfield to Cole Beasley.
What did you think KT of Broadus saying he would walk out of the room if they drafted Van Ness at 26?
I mean, the thing about Van Ness is interesting. Like, I don't think Van Ness is a bad player. Now, Van Ness is one of those things that's like, you've been told this guy is really good, and then everyone might think a little bit different about him. Because I do agree that any top 15 chatter about Lucas Van Ness seems kind of crazy. But you people are going to like glob onto the fact that he didn't start and all that stuff. But he played more snaps than anyone else at Iowa in those years. Like, he was on the field. Like, if anything, like, we go to the Jalen Carter thing. How many snaps did Jalen Carter play? Like, he started 13 games in a three-year career. He's got, you know, and he wasn't playing a lot of snaps by definition of top 10 pick that you would want. Now, that's the defensive tackle position a little bit. I thought that was an interesting take. I wouldn't walk out of the room if they took him at 26. I'm not opposed to what are we doing? Are we going to take a pass rusher at 26? I'm on board. One thing that I feel like evaluating, like, of course I want Micah Parsons rushing the passer as much as possible. I also want Micah Parsons as healthy as possible in the playoffs. And I think using him primarily as a pass rusher all year long wore him down. I don't even know that. I think that he said it, you know? So I don't have a problem with, like, if we cut back in the regular season, Micah Parsons' pass rush snaps a little bit. He's playing more traditional linebacker, just a little bit more. Because when playoff time comes, I need him rushing the passer all the time at 100%. And that's where I kind of go. I'm not opposed to always has Dorrance Armstrong and Sam Williams done enough to go, we don't need to worry about a pass rusher?
No.
We know they brought back Dante Fowler. This is likely the last year with Tank, although, you know, that's definitely unwritten. But you can talk me into Patrick. If Lucas Van Ness is there at 26, I think I'd take him, depending who's on the board.
Yeah, when you look at a lot of mock drafts, it seems like Anderson, Nolan Smith, and Tyree Wilson are the three guys that are like top 15, aren't getting out of the top 15 for sure type guys. And then after that, you can kind of take your pick at a few guys there in the early 20s, mid 20s. If you want to,
Van Ness is
one
of them.
Next tier of edge rusher.
Another one is Miles Murphy from Clemson. Yeah. Will McDonald from Iowa State, who, you know, he's another one that kind of like the Sam Williams thing. You know, Dan Quinn went and worked out, was at his pro day. So there's always those connections there. But no, they certainly could take an edge rusher at 26. Absolutely. No, there's no reason why that should be completely eliminated. That's the thing with Drew Sanders is like, if you have a plan where he's gonna have some pass rush there too, I can get a little bit more interested in that. But if they're just drafting him just to be an off the ball linebacker, I don't love that idea. I feel like you can find something more impactful.
I want to be quick here, but like the draft machine is so insane, you know, that you end up like you have a take on something. The first round is literally, maybe a little bit of the second round, literally the only time where you could start like hemming and hawing over a pick difference of 15 to 20 picks. Like, yeah. Round four, round five, it doesn't matter. But it's okay to go, I don't want Will McDonald at 26 and him get drafted at 41 and be awesome. That's okay. Like, yeah. that's a thing about, like, the context here. But you do have these, like, pencil-thin, like, you know, little areas of difference where you're like, okay, well, this is where I would kind of lean here. That's where I kind of go with Will McDonald. I think Will McDonald's a good player. I think taking him at 26 is not great. I think if he went at 45, that's awesome. And I think you're high-fiving if you get him at 60. And that's, like, the hard part about discussing the draft in general, right, is, like, you have all these hot takes, but so much can get pulled out of context when you're like, we really are talking about a razor-edge thin margin here for some of these players. And that's where, yeah. Yeah, so sometimes I kind of get annoyed with how the draft machine can get like hot takey, and you're like, well, I didn't say he was a bad player. I said I don't want him at 26. Steve Avila could be an awesome Pro Bowler. I don't want him at 26.
Yeah, I think the only position where I kind of make an exception for that is quarterback. Like, if you feel like you have the guy, if you feel like you got the guy, like you don't even in the first round or second round, you don't kind of like, you know, bush around it for, oh, I like him at five or I like him at 10, but not at five. Like, if you like him at 10, then you like him at five. Like, just go get him. I think quarterback is the only position where it's like, if you trust your scouting, then you go get the guy. But otherwise, I agree with you. I think in the first two rounds, you know, you do have to play like the draft slot with it.
Worst case scenario for you, Saad?
I think for me, like, it's any running back that's not Bijan Robinson. I don't think that they would do that. But again, we're talking worst case scenario. I don't really know what else, like, you know, because this team doesn't have any glaring needs. I don't really have any, one single position or one player or anything like that kind of stands out to me. But it's like, you know, Tony Pollard is coming off the injury. He's playing on a franchise tag. And if they feel like, okay, we still want to have another running back in the bank for potentially next year, if Tony Pollard doesn't come back after next year, then I still don't really think that running back, again, going off of your conversation about 26, like, if they draft that same running back in the second round or third round, I'm fine with that if you're grooming a second, third round guy for, you know, the succession plan to Tony Pollard. But anybody but Bijan Robinson at running back at 26 would be worst case scenario.
Can you imagine them taking Hendon Hooker at 26? Just how crazy everything would get.
There's a lot of chatter about him in the first round today, man. Seems like a Brandon Whedon all over again, right?
Could you just imagine how insane everything would be?
You know, that probably needs to stop any first-round chatter about Hendon Hooker. I mean, hey, man, go get your money, but that's a second-round, third-round type of guy. You're not taking – if anyone takes Hendon Hooker on day one, I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked.
Yeah, you say that, man, but who knows with quarterbacks, man? It's so hard to project what any of these guys are going to be.
People love those 25-year-old QBs coming off a big knee injury. I mean, come on. I mean, I got red flags for days here, man.
I get it, man, but I just don't think anybody would have sat there before the draft, during the draft, after the draft, and said, yeah, no, man, this hurts, kid. One day he'll be getting – he's going to get like $51 million a year. Like,
sure.
There's just no way anybody would have said that. And I like using him as an example because he played on so many big stages in college. So even if you don't have to be, oh, I watched the draft, that you've seen him play so many times. And there were definitely times that you've seen him play where you're like, yeah, he'll probably be a career NFL backup. You know, you'd never thought that he was going to have NFL success, you know? So I don't know, man. It's tough.
Yeah, that's my worst case scenario is if they took Hooker or Hayner or something at 26. But like my realistic worst case scenario, and then I want to say something about quarterbacks because you got my mind going on something, John.
Hooker at 26 probably is the worst case scenario.
Yeah, realistic worst case scenario for me, and I know a lot of people love him. It's against everything.
I'm not even talking about the player. I'm talking about just how much chaos comes with it. You know, like
what? Why are we bringing Cooper Rush back then? Like, what was that about? It's tight end and it's nothing against the player. The Dalton Kincaid back situation bothers me, which to me, I can't take a guy with a bad back injury that's also a tight end in the first round. Michael Mayer, I just don't love it. And I know that's probably your Vegas odds favorite right now at 26 is still Michael Mayer, the tight end at Notre Dame.
Michael Mayer to me is the exact opposite of everything I said about Jalen Carter. His floor is like, I see him being with the Cowboys for, his floor is two contracts, I swear. I mean, outside of like injury, now his ceiling, you know, like you could tell me like a Darnell Washington or Dalton Kincaid have a higher ceiling, you know, especially in terms of like pass catcher, putting up those big numbers. But his floor to me is just super high that like, yeah, you might look back and be like, yeah, was he really a first round pick? Maybe this guy was like more of a second or third, but I don't think that you'd come back and be like, whoa, they got nothing out of that guy, you know?
Do you think he's one of the 15 to 18? John?
If he is, he's probably one of the last ones in there. But yeah, I would have him somewhere. I bet you he's on their board somewhere similar to where Tyler Smith was. I think Tyler Smith was in that 14, 16 range, something like that. I bet you he's somewhere in there, yeah.
When I talked about tight ends earlier, I just, when you look at the overall, like when you look at the history, and you know, I think the jury is still out on Kyle Pitts because of the situation he's been in Atlanta. But generally speaking, like tight ends don't really hit that much in the first round. And so for me, I'm just going based off of that. And I remember Kyle Pitts was you know, billed as a superstar talent, and he still might be, because like I said, I'm not judging him based on what he's had to go through in Atlanta. But yeah, I mean, it's tough. If I was to take a tight end, though, it would be Michael Mayer. Like, that would be the only guy probably, because again, like you said, I think he has a reliable floor, and I don't know what his ceiling is going to be. But I also know that in today's NFL, sure, it's nice if you can land a Travis Kelce, a George Kittle, whatever. But you also can, if you have receivers and if you have another tight end, if one of your other guys, Hendershot, Ferguson, one of them really pans out of something, then if you can run a two tight end set with two receivers and a running back, like, you're fine. So I don't think Michael Mayer is going to end up being Travis Kelce, but I think he can easily end up being, you know, a good part of a 1-2 punch.
It's wild because it's like, you want someone. To me, if you're in the first round of tight end, I got to know that you're a game changer a little bit. I don't know. Maybe at 26, it's different, right?
I was going to say, there's a good, really good chance whoever they take at 26, you won't be. I mean, you really saying about Jalen Hyatt? Oh, they got Jalen Hyatt there? That's a game changer? No. Oh, yeah, he's going to go out there?
I don't really like Jalen Hyatt.
Also, hey, real quick, I got to throw this in here. I like how, so I had family in town last week, and so I didn't get to make it out to, they had a Dak and Troy Aikman. We're at the cancer gala that they do yearly. And so before it started, you know, they both were interviewed and stuff. And one of the storylines that came out of there was that, you know, the coaching staff had reached out to Dak about, you know, a few receivers to look at their tape and that they might want him to call them or whatever like that, kind of what they did last year. Well, they did that last year and they got Jalen Tolbert. So it was just kind of funny that everyone's making the story. I'm just like, are you going to include Jalen Tolbert in there? And this has nothing to do with Dak. I mean, he's a quarterback. He's not supposed to be evaluating players, but I'm just saying, like, it was just funny because that was a huge storyline last year. I remember it was, I mean, because it was interesting because you hadn't heard about that very much in the past from, let's say, with Romo or whatever, or even with Dak before that. But it's just funny that they're saying that now, because I was thinking about it because when I was doing my final mock draft that just published this morning on The Athletic, you know, I started getting into like that fourth, fifth round, and I hadn't drafted a receiver yet. And I'm like, I think they really want a receiver. I should give them one. And when you get in that fourth or fifth round, there's a part of me that's like, is this player even going to be better than Jalen Tolbert? Like, are you just drafting a guy just to fill out a need? Like, if you don't think that the player can come in and be impactful, like, why would you just go get another Jalen Tolbert? You have Jalen Tolbert, let him be that guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially because he was a third round pick last year that you considered in the second round. Now he's had a full season in the organization. I would think that he could probably be your number four receiver this year. I mean, I would, and if he can't, then wow, that's reevaluate the whole process.
Let's call him wide receiver 4.5 and just kind of see what happens.
Yeah.
you know, the guy that's interesting to me is Josh Downs, and he was a visitor. Now, Josh Downs,
huge.
He might be that guy. If you want him, you got to get him at 26. You know who he is to me?
No way.
He's Randall Cobb to me.
Mm.
A little less explosive.
Mike didn't even take Randall Cobb in the first round.
Yeah, exactly, right?
But the big thing with Randall Cobb, though, too, is that he could do so many things. You know, he could play him at quarterback a little bit. He could return punts. He could line them up all over the place. Now, I'm not saying you can't do it with these other guys, but, you know, Turpin. I'll just put it to you this way. I got to see a full year with Kevontae Turpin, and I just didn't see all these creative ways that they were going to get him involved. So now all of a sudden, now not just Mike Downs and
call
Flowers.
The offense, John.
Yeah, play right, colors true, yeah. in L.A.,
wait
buddy.
Till you see that creativity from Watermelon Mike.
Hey, well, if that's the case, then I guess you don't need one of these guys. You already got Turpin.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. We'll see what... Oh, okay, Watermelon Mike's not his name. Okay. I'm interested. Watch, dude, everything that's been complained about for the last 3 years with Kellen... In week one, McCarthy's going to have that on the play sheet. Like, we're going to do all the stuff right there. We're going to have Pollard super involved. There will be no other running back.
Yeah.
Although Zeke's not here. So maybe I should be more optimistic about the play calling going into the year. But I just don't love Mayer. And I know it's the whole thing of like 4'8". I don't think he's as good of a blocker as everyone says he is. And you know what? He is super safe, right? So was Zach Martin. So maybe I'm an idiot.
Did you hear Dane's pro comparison for Michael Mayer, KT?
No.
Todd Heap.
Wow. I've seen back a ways to Baltimore.
I saw Lance Zerlane from the NFL, NFL.com, at his comp as Jason Witten.
Damn. Okay.
Because of, yeah. I think between reading some stuff like that and then also. Pete Sampson, who covers Notre Dame for The Athletic, wrote a big piece earlier, I want to say it was in November, about how like Notre Dame has had a really strong tight end lineage in terms of not necessarily like pro stars, but like almost every year, one of their starting tight ends is an NFL player. I mean, it goes back a long ways. It's been going on. And basically the story was about how Mayer's the best out of all of them, even going back to
14 tight ends or something. It's like
crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. And so one of the tight ends that is interviewed in the story is Tyler Eifert. It's Zach Martin's brother-in-law. He was, you know, he was pretty good tight end at Notre Dame. First round pick, I think, by Bengals, made like one Pro Bowl. But he compared Mayer to how, like with Rob Gronkowski, how no one would say Rob Gronkowski is like the best route runner. But he always knew how to use his leverage, which is that's exactly what it is with Jason Witten, where... It's almost like a basketball player. You know, you want that your defender to be close to you because you use your leverage to get open. I would say this from watching him. I do think the thing that's underrated about him is that he will go up and get it. You can throw it up to him and he'll actually, I mean, he's more athletic than you probably would give him credit for. But yeah, he's not going to be, you know, Travis Kelce. He's not going to be Rob Gronkowski. But I just think his floor is really high. And also I'm factoring in the fact that you're at 26, because I do think there's a good chance he's not even there at 26. But I'm also saying at 26. So to your point, KT, you said you don't really love it. I have a serious doubt that there's going to be this consensus love at 26. I just think whoever they take, there's going to be plenty of people that are like, ugh, I don't know about that. Sure. I mean, that's what was Tyler Smith last year.
You know where I have more of like a, first of all, I have a soft spot in my heart for Jake Ferguson because I kind of like the development there. Also, I really have fell in love with the Iowa tight end Sam Laporta, and you know, we'll see.
His
window is 45 to 75, right?
Yeah.
You know,
For sure.
The other guy, that's the thing. I have more of like a difference in like Sam Laporta over, I don't like the Michigan guy, Shoemaker, but
yeah.
I Shoemaker's a bigger guy and things like that. So
I don't think if we're sitting here,
the Mayer buzz is real.
Right. Yeah. No, if we're sitting here with Jake Ferguson in this class, because he played at Wisconsin last year, you're not even mentioning him. His name's not even being brought up.
Sure.
Doesn't Luke Musgrave seem like a day two Cowboys pick? That just feels...
It sounds like a country music
like
star.
It's going to be... Yeah, like it just feels... I just feel that in the ether somewhere.
Yeah, I feel like with Musgrave, it's kind of like the Steve Avila guy from TCU, the guard/center, where it's like, yeah, 26 is too high, but he ain't going to fall to 58 either. You know, it's kind of in that spot right in between. So who knows? I just keep going back to N'Kobe Dean, you know? Nobody ever thought he would have fallen in the third round, so you just never know.
Question for you. At 26, say these two players, the Cowboys are on the clock. These two guys are on the board. Robinson, Michael Mayer. Where do you go?
Robinson.
I think I go Michael Mayer there.
Hmm. John?
It's close.
I'm sorry, who are you talking about? Michael Mayer or who?
Bijan.
Bijan.
Oh, Bijan Robinson. Easy. And oh, I love Michael Mayer. Yeah, yeah. I'm way higher on Michael Mayer than most people.
Yeah, I didn't know who you were talking. I thought you were talking about someone else. Kent. I would take Bijan there. Bijan doesn't play a position. That's the thing. He's a playmaker. And Michael Mayer plays a position. I think that's the biggest difference there. I would take Bijan.
And then the other thing about both of them is that they're going to check off every box for the off the field stuff. Like both those guys are great in that aspect. And I mean, Jerry Jones's grandson plays at Texas. I mean, he's going to know Bijan Robinson as well as any team. Good point. So I think I just think that would be too tough for Jerry to pass on. I could see where you're coming from, Kent, and like guys in the room, some scouts and maybe some other people talking about how this is better value, you know, for Mayer, that, like I said, because I think Michael Mayer plays 10 years in the NFL, where Bijan Robinson, bless you, where Bijan Robinson maybe get you 5-6 good years, but man, I just think those 5-6 years could be, especially with this team, you just add him in there.
Special.
He just helps everybody. He helps Dak. He helps the receivers. He helps the offensive line look better. Like
passing.
He helps Tony Pollard. Yeah. He makes Mike McCarthy look like a better play call. I mean, everything just ratchets up with him, you know. So, but you know what was interesting today during that press conference? Someone asked about running backs in the first round, and Mike says, "Well, I've never taken a running back in the first round, so I know that you're, because you know there's that point where all three are sitting on this stage, and you're kind of like, well, who's he asking the question to?" And he's like, "So you must not be asking me; you must be asking Steven." Or it was just interesting that he pointed out, like, I've never been on a team that took a running back in the first round, you know?
Yeah. Let's kind of go lightning round here. What would you be most, if we get to Saturday morning? You're like, what do we need to get that they didn't get? Like, what position do they really have to hit? They only have 7 picks, as we know right now. Like, what absolutely do they have to hit?
Left guard. You got to get somebody at left guard. You know, in my mock, I had him taking Anthony Bradford at LSU, and I can't remember if it was the 4th or 5th round, but somewhere in that, you know, early day 3. You know, you need to get something at left guard, and I feel like you got to get something to help run stop at defensive tackle. If you can do those two things, I think that the rest you can kind of let it fall in place. As you mentioned, KT, corner certainly would make a lot of sense, wide receiver, and then I think running back is a big need too, just because you'd like to get a bigger back to pair with Tony Pollard going forward. But really, to be honest with you, throughout this entire draft, outside of quarterback and safety, I think you can draft anything.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead, Todd.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, to the running back thing, like, I do think, like, you know, you don't always have to have the smash and dash, but it helps. And if you have the dash already, it's easier to get the smash on second or third day. So I think those guys, like we're talking about Bijan, we're talking about Tony Pollard, those guys go at a higher premium. And I think if you're just trying to get, you know, a guy that gets you short yardage and kind of complements Tony Pollard in that way, I think that's more of a second, third round. So if you're talking about you get to Saturday, I think I would probably wait for for a running back at that point. I think what John said about left guard and defensive tackle, I agree completely with that. But I would also be a little concerned if we got to day 3 and they haven't addressed those two, because I think left guard is like I said, for me, like, you know, even in the first round, I'd be down with that. Day 2 at least, like, I would like to see a left guard somewhere. I don't want to get to day 3 and you're just drafting complete projects at left guard.
I agree with you, man, but doing all these mock drafts, I'm telling you, the problem is that you get blown out where you don't really have anything you love at left guard, and then you're taking your 5th or 6th left guard over, like, your 8th corner who, you know, like, for example, in one of mine, I end up taking Darius Rush out of South Carolina. I mean, he's got the size, the arm length, everything that the Cowboys look for. All the fans will fall in love with the whole Trayvon Diggs thing. He was a receiver that transitioned over to corner. Like, there's just a lot of guys that are there. And if they didn't take a tight end in the first round, like KT said, like a Laporta or somebody like that sitting there, that you're just like, damn, this is pretty good value here. Are you going to take your 5th or 6th best guard? When, let's be honest, that guard might not even be as good as Connor McGovern. And so even in the 2nd or 3rd, you still might be looking at a guy that you're like, well, he's here. I don't know. It's just tough. It's tough with that position because you just don't know if, outside of taking one at, you know, 26, you're going to be some projecting there.
Did they bring in the NC State kid Chandler Zavala.
You know, I don't think they did, but I know that he's one of those guys that's up there. I think Dane has him as one of the top, what, five or six guards in this class. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, his dad is a Food Network celebrity, by the way.
Well, that bumps him up around.
What about this guard
or
center?
At guard, do you worry about his, you know?
What about this guard center flex player from Minnesota, John Michael Schmitz?
Another guy that sounds like a country music star.
Maybe a second day, you know, type player.
Yeah,
both the country guys on day two.
That's
That would make a lot of sense. I just think that I'm pretty sure he's looked at as more of a center. Where that Steve Avila from TCU is just perfect because left guard's probably his best spot, but he's also got some experience at center. So then, you know, you get to Sunday and you got to trim down how many offensive linemen are active, 8 or 9, whatever. You got your backup center as your left guard, and you really trust him. That's something that this Cowboys offensive line's been missing. Like, he would be such a great pick to, man, that's, you want to talk about dream scenarios, it's Avila falling to them in the second round. Like, man, if they could pull that off, what a great draft that would be.
I'm interested in, I said this earlier, and this might have less to do with the Cowboys, but I'm just interested in how things go. I was fascinated on, it was like Saturday afternoon, I saw that at least one of the big sports books in Vegas, Caesars, had changed the number 2 overall pick to Will Levis. Mm-hmm. Now, I was in Houston last week with a couple guys who cover the Texans pretty closely, and they were like, I don't think we're taking a quarterback at number 2, which is interesting. It'd be a wild thing for Houston to do to pass on that, but who knows? You know, maybe they were right, maybe they were wrong.
I mean, it's Houston. They know what to do, man. So just
D'Amico Ryan's maybe like tank it up for Caleb Williams, right? That might be the plan. But what's fascinating about all of that, I saw the Levis thing. The CJ Stroud score on the S2 cognition test comes out, which, by the way, I kind of buy into that. It is amazing. I know it's early, but they've never had a guy score well on that and play well. So there's something about that
test. Poorly and play well.
Yeah, score poorly on the S2
and
play well.
You said score well and play well.
Yeah, I meant, sorry. They never had a guy who take the S2, suck at it, and then go play good in the NFL. Now it's early, small sample size. We don't like going off small sample sizes ever. But for Bryce Young to go get a 98% on that thing, for CJ Stroud to get an 18% on that thing is interesting to me. And I know what the old guard is going to say. I know what a lot of basic people will say. And I get that, and I understand this. Well, what are they doing on that test? They're just doing rapid read and reaction things on a laptop computer. I get it. That's not football. I'll watch the football. I would say the things that do match up about CJ Stroud are read and reaction type stuff.
Yeah,
like when he's asked to read a full field and things like that, you go, okay, I see the issues there.
What cowboy do you think of when you think of bad Wunderlich scores?
Goes to Mo Claiborne, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know if I care so much about the Wunderlich, but I do this with quarterbacks because it is made specifically for the quarterback and how fast you can read and react to things.
Let me add to that real quick. To me, though, also, it's the no one's dinging you for being in the 50th percentile. It's when you're just, you know, like, again, like the wonder, like the Morris Claiborne getting a 4 when it's just so incredibly bad. I don't know how, like, you can publicly say all the right things, but I don't know how a team, especially if you're investing a high first round pick, doesn't look at that and go, all right, makes me a little nervous.
Yeah. And I bet not every team even like cares about that thing. There'll be some that care about it way more than others.
Yeah.
Like, no one's talking about Anthony Richardson's 46% on that test. Like, okay, yeah, that about matches up, yeah. You see it. They're like, CJ Stroud, what?
And then all of a sudden, interesting. That comes out. I think it's interesting when it's really bad or really good.
Yeah, like, Vince Young was really surprising. Like when he scored on his, that was kind of like a red flag to me.
He scored well? But
his was the Wunderlich, though, right?
Yeah, the Wunderlich. Yeah,
I mean, the S2 is like, it's basically playing a computer game. it's on a laptop. You're moving things and reacting in quick seconds, and it's based on which diamond. It's almost like a, you know, Severance. You know, I don't know if y'all have seen that show or not. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like how fast you're moving things and how fast your mind sees it, and then you react to it. I'm fascinated by that, and I kept going, okay, is that going to kill C.J. Stroud's draft stock?
Yeah.
Surely not to 26.
No.
But we get in a fun little world where we start going, okay, well, I want a quarterback. Well, now I'm kind of like, we want quarterbacks to go, and that pushes other players back. We also like, maybe you want a quarterback getting to 26. And if quarterback gets to 26 and another team can move up, that's your ideal. If you could get back into the second round and take Steve Avila at a comfortable spot.
I thought you were trying to get CJ. I thought you were trying to get CJ Stroud on the Cowboys.
No. I can't have him. You got to do better on that test that I'm now going with. Dude, we all thought Brock Purdy was a goober. No one thought he was going to be good. He aced the test, you know? It's like, that's right, kind of. We actually have a bit of a track record of looking at guys who were actually pretty good based on how they did on this test.
It's like I said, I really don't. I don't care for most of it, but it is interesting when you see like one score. You're just like, whoa, that's bad.
Well, what are you doing if you're Houston? If you're two, Bryce Young goes one. What are you doing?
Who cares? You're Houston. Just do something.
But you're in charge here. I mean, in this scenario,
yeah. But it's for me, for me,
Will Anderson.
Yes. Okay.
I'm a bad person to ask because it's funny because people are like critical of like what kind of project quarterback could the Cowboys get on day three? I don't like the quarterback they could get if they had pick three. So that's, obviously I'm not going to give you anything great. So that's Will Anderson for sure.
Yeah, that's the thing about quarterbacks though. Like it's the ultimate example of like you can't just go just because you need a quarterback. So you're going to draft one because it's number two. Like that's when you end up with like, you know, the Jake Locker or Christian Ponder, that whole draft, because that's what happens when you do that. Like you have to be very confident. I actually respect to some degree what the Bears did when they moved up to go get Trubisky. It didn't work out. It wasn't a good draft pick, but at least you scouted the guy. You had conviction. You went up and got your guy. Now your scouting was off and that's whatever, but like at least you weren't just like, well, we're here at number three. We have to take a quarterback because we don't have one. And so now we'll take Trubisky. It's like, I don't really have a lot of respect for that. Where I do have respect if you go up and get your guy.
He was on that Pro Bowl roster in 2016, Trubisky was. And I'll never forget because I went and covered it because obviously the Cowboys had a lot of guys. And I remember they were wrapping up media availability after one of the practices and he was leaving. I was going to ask him a quick question. I just remember him being like, nah, man, I already answered like a bunch. I got to get going or whatever. And I didn't care at the time or whatever, but I look back and occasionally I'll be like, no, Mitch, probably hang out here as long as possible because you're never going to experience this again. You probably don't want to go it back in the locker room or anything. Just hang out here for a while, man. Just soak this in.
Well, to be fair, those leaked scores or whatever, the creator of the test a few hours ago said that at least two of the scores that got leaked are not true.
Okay.
So interesting, but it's another layer to kind of some of the fun that'll happen on draft time. Yeah. Kent, on air producing on the fly. What's our little draft schedule here? How are we going to do this?
We're going to come back on Sunday. Yeah. We're going to come back, after the draft and do an entire recap of the draft. So we'll let the draft happen and then we'll just cover it all in one big draft recap episode and we'll see where we are.
All right. And should we be paying attention to any draft coverage here from The Athletic here? What do you got for us?
Yes, absolutely. Make sure you're subscribed on The Athletic Football Show YouTube. Watch us live. We'll be covering the Cowboys picks and it'll be a good time. But if you're in DFW and you're driving around, listen to KT on the radio.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'd appreciate that. All right. Anything else? Closing words? Anyone get one last shot here? What do you think?
Oh, good.
I think it's going to be the
McCarthy draft.
I think the Cowboys are in a good spot where, you know, I think the two moves they made with Gilmore and Cooks really puts them in a secure spot to where they don't have to draft for need. And I think that's the best position you can be in going into for the draft.
I'd be very surprised if they traded up in the first round. I could see them trading back or just staying right there. I just cannot see them trading up just because I think they need all the picks they can get just because of the contracts with Dak and Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs and CeeDee Lamb. They need as many picks going forward as they can have to fill out the rest of this roster. So even to move up from 26 to 20, you're giving up a third round pick. I can't see them doing that. I think they need every pick that they have here. And right now it's one in each of the seven rounds.
going to be quite a fun time. For Father John Machota, keep following his stuff on The Athletic. Saad Youssef in the middle of a hot Stars playoff chase. Series tied at 2 as we record here on Monday evening, the 24th. Make sure you're following Saad as well. And our producer, Kent Garrison. I'm KT. We will see you after the draft, and we'll chop it all up next time on About Them Cowboys.